Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Tuesday, April 4th. Let's begin. End of line for railroad improvements in sight. High-speed rail work around BN almost done, official says. Work at a West Washington Street railroad crossing and another in Normal signals the end of major improvements in the Twin Cities related to high-speed passenger rail service. If Mother Nature cooperates, Washington between Western and Gas Avenues in West Bloomington is expected to be closed for just 3 weeks. Randy Lovell, senior construction manager for Union Pacific Railroad's consultant, STV Incorporated, said Monday. The closure, which began Monday, is necessary to finish up street work related to improvement of the nearby crossing. The track there was rebuilt in November, and we're just coming back and completing the remaining work now that it's construction season, said Lovell. It's nothing major. We're going to be doing new curbs and sidewalks and a little bit of roadway pavement work, just some mill and overlay type activities. The work is being overseen by the railroad, not the city. Lovell said work on railroad crossings in the Bloomington-Normal area, including improvements that closed eastbound College Avenue between Linden and Walnut Streets in Normal for 6 months, are nearly completed. We're almost done. We're finishing up College Avenue in Normal within the next couple of weeks, said Lovell. We've got some odd and ends in Bloomington, fencing-type activities to complete, a little bit of utility work left to do, but nothing substantial, he's added. The Illinois Department of Transportation and Union Pacific have been overseeing upgrades to several intersections in the Twin Cities that are funded with federal high-speed rail money. Track and intersection improvements are intended to allow passenger trains capable of going up to 110 miles per hour to travel safely through Bloomington Normal starting this year. High-speed rail is expected to shave about an hour off the Chicago-St. Louis run, which now takes about 5.5 hours. A section of Mason Street in the area between West Market and West Emerson Streets in Bloomington will be closed for about a week in the near future for work on a utility line, said Lovell. The entire Chicago-St. Louis corridor is tentatively scheduled to be completed by the end of 2017. One major high-speed rail project involved tearing down and replacing a railroad bridge that closed Market Street between Morris and Western Avenues in Bloomington for 8.5 months. After several delays that drew complaints from area businesses, Market Street opened in November. Normal, Gordman's store slated for closure. Drop in sales spurs proposal to shutter. An anchor at the Shops at College Hills likely will close after all. Gordman's at 306 South Towanda Avenue in Normal is likely to shut down despite the purchase of its parent company in a bankruptcy proceeding, according to documents filed over the weekend in U.S. Bankruptcy Court. Normal's Gordman's is the only downstate Illinois store proposed for closure following the sale of the company to Stage Stores Incorporated, a Houston-based department store chain. Omaha, Nebraska-based Gordman's also operates stores in Champaign, East Peoria, Peoria, Springfield, and Fairview Heights. At the time of the purchase, Stage said it planned to keep about 50 Gordman's locations open and to close a similar number. The judge overseeing the bankruptcy case will have the final say on store closings, so the list provided in court documents could change slightly, according to Lee News Service reporting. No closing date has been announced. Officials at M&J Wilkow, the Chicago real estate company that owns the shops, could not be reached Monday. M&J Wilkow said if they do close, they have lots of options for that space, said Normal City Manager Mark Peterson of Gordman's. The fairly large space gives them lots of options, whether these are existing businesses wanting to expand or new businesses they didn't get into that. Peterson said incentives for a future user of the building would be considered, as elsewhere in the town, on a case-by-case basis. The town provided a sales tax incentive to the developer of the shops that Peterson said is still active. Wilkow has never mentioned anything like that with us. They have never suggested that, he said. Mayor Chris Koo said that he heard from Gordman's that the Normal location does pretty well, which would give you some hope that they would continue. Gordman's filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last month after working to reduce its expenses over the past several months. Chief Financial Officer James B. Brown said in documents filed in court that the company's sales declined because retail traffic slowed and less than 1% of Gordman's sales were made online in the past year. Gordman's posted losses in 5 of its last 6 quarters, and in its most recent quarter it reported a 9.4% drop in same-store sales last year. To see the Gordman store closings list on the web, you go to www.pantograph.com. Judge delays for mentally ill burden jails. Short on beds, state facility has woman waiting in McLean County. Delays in the placement of mentally ill inmates in state hospitals shifts the burden for their care to county jails and denies defendants their right to a timely psychiatric evaluation, a McLean County judge said Monday, after hearing that a woman has been waiting in jail for more than a month for a bed at a Springfield facility. Anita Jumper was found not guilty by reason of insanity on February 28th of the 2015 arson of her Bloomington apartment. State law requires that the 58-year-old be transferred to McFarland Mental Health Center in Springfield for an evaluation that will be used to develop a treatment plan for her. Jumper refused to leave her jail cell for a hearing Monday, according to defense lawyer Jennifer Patton. Patton told Judge Scott Drzewski that the Illinois Department of Human Services has asked for an extension of its 30-day deadline to submit a report on Jumper's treatment. The judge noted that he recently received a similar request for an extension in another case. The state facility has a limited number of beds available, said Drzewski, but this is putting the burden back on the county jails. Longer waits in jail are not in compliance with state law, said the judge. Something needs to occur so the rights of the individuals under the statutes are being afforded to them, said Drzewski. A May 12th hearing is scheduled to review a placement plan for Jumper if her transfer and an evaluation are completed. The flexibility to postpone compliance with the requirements of the law is not always offered to county jails, said the judge, citing notices IDHS sends to the county when an inmate has finished treatment and needs to be returned to jail. As more mentally ill people cycle into jails, it's not uncommon for counties to be holding inmates beyond the 30 days the state has to file its treatment plan for inmates with behavioral health issues. Not all mentally ill inmates are forced to wait in jail for a bed at McFarland. Brian Peterson went from the McLean County courtroom to the Springfield Hospital after a February 27th finding that he was insane at the time that he killed his parents, Nancy and Bruce Peterson. The 26-year-old also was allowed to stay at McFarland for ongoing treatment for almost all of the 7 months that his case was pending. When asked in January by the Pantograph why McFarland staff asked that Peterson remain in the facility that is chronically short of beds for treatment, an agency representative said that such requests are rare and are made when the doctors believe an extended stay is in the best interest of the defendant's care. An April 21st hearing is scheduled to review the state's recommendation for Peterson's long-term treatment. Daily Digest. Streeter wins sewer grant. Streeter will receive $450,000 to build sanitary and storm sewers as part of $15.3 million in federal funding going to 40 communities statewide. The Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity grants are to help low-income communities undertake public infrastructure projects such as water, sanitary system, and sewer enhancements. MCCA gets Ameren grant. Mid-Central Community Action has received $49,950 from Ameren, Illinois to assist clients who are part of MCCA's income support program. The grant will provide direct client assistance and will fund energy efficiency educational programming and pilot programs for low-income families planned in collaboration with the Ecology Action Center. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, April 4th, the 94th day of 2017. There are 271 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On April the 4th, 1968, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., 39, was shot and killed on a balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. On this date, in 1818, Congress decided the flag of the United States would consist of 13 red and white stripes and 20 stars, with a new star to be added for every new state of the Union. In 1841, President William Henry Harrison succumbed to pneumonia 1 month after his inaugural, becoming the first U.S. chief executive to die in office. In 1859, Dixie was performed publicly for the first time by Bryant's Minstrels at Mechanics Hall in New York. In 1864, President Abraham Lincoln, in a letter to Kentucky newspaper editor Albert G. Hodges, wrote, "I claim not to have controlled events, but confess plainly that events have controlled me." In 1887, Susanna Medora Salter became the first woman elected mayor of an American community, Argonia, Kansas. In 1917, the U.S. Senate voted 82-6 in favor of declaring war against Germany. The House followed suit 2 days later by a vote of 373-50. In 1933, the Navy airship, the USS Akron, crashed in severe weather off the New Jersey coast, with the loss of 73 lives. In 1949, 12 nations, including the United States, signed the North Atlantic Treaty in Washington, D.C. In 1983, the Space Shuttle Challenger roared into orbit on its maiden voyage. It was destroyed in the disaster of January 1986. Thought for today. Take the attitude of a student. Never be too big to ask questions. Never know too much to learn something new. Written by Og Mandino, American author, 1923 to 1996. And today's flick fact, the question. Two of Bloomington's worst disasters in the 20th century coincidentally occurred during the first 2 years of the century. Can you name them? And the answer is, the entire downtown area of Bloomington burned to the ground in 1900 in what became known as the Great Fire of 1900. 2 years later, on June the 11th, 1902, the city was hit by a tornado that destroyed much of Illinois Wesleyan University and did $200,000 in damage to the area, a phenomenal amount of damage for the time. Time for BN to say no more. Support encouraged during Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Every 98 seconds, an American is sexually assaulted, but 66% of those assaults are never reported to police. This is unacceptable, said Hillary Pacha, YWCA McLean County, Senior Director of Prevention and Empowerment Services. It is time for us as a community to say no more. Pacha spoke Monday on the west steps of the McLean County Museum of History to open Sexual Assault Awareness Month activities in McLean County. Several dozen people attended the event in the rain. "Sexual assault happens in our community," Pacha said after the event. "It's ugly and nasty, and it affects you." During the fiscal year that ended June the 30th, Stepping Stones, McLean County's Rape Crisis Center, at YWCA served more than 200 victims of sexual violence and their loved ones, accounting for about 3,000 hours of service, she said. In addition, Stepping Stones volunteers handled about 600 hotline calls during the past fiscal year. Sexual assault affects not only survivors and their loved ones, but also communities, because sexual assault survivors are more likely to suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, to be substance abusers, to be teen mothers, to attempt suicide, and to be homeless, Pacha said. Having law enforcement here is huge, she said. Among event attendees were representatives of the McLean County Sheriff's Department and Illinois State Police, as well as Bloomington, Normal, Illinois State University, McLean, Danvers, Hudson, and Stanford Police Departments. According to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, RAIN, 66% of assaults are not reported to police because the victims fear retaliation. They don't believe police will or can help. They believe it's a personal matter or not important enough to report. Didn't want to get the perpetrator in trouble or reported it to someone other than police. We are here to show support for Stepping Stones and for victims of sexual assault and to get the message out that there are services available, McLean County Sheriff John Sandage said. Victims don't need to hide. We can help. Victims of sexual assault should call police at 911 and then call 309-827-4005 to be connected with a Stepping Stones trained volunteer, Pacha said. More rain ahead for central Illinois. Forecasters say snow possible Wednesday as a cold front arrives. Spring rains have delayed farmers anxious to get into the fields, plagued homeowners with ongoing flooding problems, and postponed many outdoor sports events. Forecasters say things are not likely to dry up much this week in central Illinois, and even suggest that winter may have one final punch left. We will be dry today, but on Wednesday, we have a system that could bring some substantial rainfall to the area, and on the back side of that, a cold front will arrive, said Scott Baker, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Lincoln. As that pushes through, we might get a little snowfall mixed in with that, especially Wednesday night into Thursday. By little snowfall, Baker means possibly 2 or 3 inches of snow. If it makes it here, it will start out mixed in with rain, so it will be a very wet snow. In all, 2 or 3 inches of snow could fall, but because the ground is so warm, I wouldn't think that more than an inch of snow would actually stick. From Tuesday through Sunday, more than 2 inches of rain was recorded at the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, Baker said, and that has kept local rain and storm cleanup companies busy. Our phones really started last Thursday, said Cody Otto, a project manager with True Clean Restoration of Bloomington. It picked up again after people returned home from work. Since then, 15 and 16-hour days have left little time for sleep, Otto said. In a lot of cases, we have to follow up on the jobs we already did just to make sure everything is working right, he said. So it can get really busy as it accumulates. It can get almost overwhelming. But in times like this, it really becomes a lifestyle and not a job. And when the time allows, Otto checks with the weather app on his cell phone. But he adds there really is little need for it. Everyone talks about the weather, he said, and that's where I get most of the updates. According to the National Weather Service, today will be cloudy with a high of 59 degrees. The showers return early Wednesday morning with more than half an inch of rain expected. The high will be around 52 degrees, but temperatures will drop the following day. Thursday's high will be around 42 degrees, but a warming trend will follow with temperatures reaching 70 degrees by Sunday. Probe into death of pedestrian continues. Normal officials eye fatality on veterans. Police still don't know why a Bloomington man was walking on Veterans Parkway in Normal Friday night before he was struck and killed by a sport utility vehicle. Preliminary autopsy reports indicate Jeffrey A. Darr, 50, died of multiple blunt injuries, said McLean County Coroner Kathy Davis. Toxicology reports are pending. We still don't know why he was there, said Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner. We continue to talk with the family, and so far we have not been able to figure out the reasons. Maybe at some point we will learn that he was at a meeting or an event, but right now we just don't know. Witnesses told police Darr entered the southbound lanes of traffic south of Shepherd Road when he was struck by the vehicle about 8:24 p.m. Friday. Darr was pronounced dead at the scene at 9:19 p.m. by the McLean County Coroner's Office. The driver cooperated with the police and was not ticketed, Bleichner said. Anyone who may have witnessed the crash or has other information is asked to contact Normal Police at 309-454-9535. ISSCS building demolition delayed into summer. Normal to pay owner $500K to raise site, give land to town. The former Illinois Soldiers and Sailors Children's School Administration building won't be demolished on schedule. The building, which was set to be razed by owner Nicholas Africano by May the 2nd, won't be torn down until this summer, said Normal City Manager Mark Peterson. There is some issue between Africano and his contractor, Peterson said. There's probably 90 days worth of work there, I'd guess, so he's probably looking at some time in August. In response, Africano is likely to request an extension from the Normal City Council to be approved at its next meeting, April the 17th. The town will pay Africano $500,000 to demolish the building after the work is finished. In return, that he'll give the land to the town and develop the adjoining infirmary building, which he owns as well. He's got to present plans to renovate the adjacent building and provide evidence that he's got financing before receiving payment, Peterson said. Peterson spoke about the deal after Monday's council meeting, where members approved a $270,000 project to fill in sidewalks near high-speed rail crossings. Peterson said town officials met with Amtrak on Monday to discuss high-speed rail and the use of the new south platform at Uptown Station, which will not be in service this month, as Amtrak claimed in March. That will be late summer at the earliest, Peterson said. They acknowledge they don't really know for sure. We may not know until it happens, but we will be prepared no matter what. Those preparations could include getting people movers, small, flexible transit vehicles similar to golf carts, to ferry the passengers and the baggage from the south platform to Uptown Station until some kind of long-term crossing is built. For now, passengers have to go about a block north to Linden Street to cross the railroad tracks. The council also approved a contract with Henson Disposal of Bloomington to dispose of the town's bulky waste for $51.01 per ton, or about $200,000 per year. The deal is expected to help the community get closer to 40% of waste recycled. ISU hosts Campus Walk. Workplaces, community organizations, and individuals are urged to take the first step toward a healthier lifestyle by scheduling a walk on Wednesday and then walking regularly. Wednesday is American Heart Association's National Walking Day, when everyone is encouraged to begin a regular walking or exercise routine. Among scheduled walks is noon Wednesday on the Illinois State University Quad, beginning at Schroeder Plaza. The event begins with a warm-up at 12:05 p.m., following by a lap around the quad with Reggie Redbird at 12:10 p.m. The first 100 walkers who complete a lap will receive a free Subway sandwich, and there will be additional prizes for walkers who complete additional activities. In the event of rain, the ISU walk will happen at Redbird Arena. In addition to walking, The Heart Association urges people to participate in recreational sports and outdoor activities for the whole family and in stress-reducing movements such as yoga, Pilates, and Tai Chi. The American Heart Association recommends that adults get at least 150 minutes of moderate aerobic activity each week and that children get at least 60 minutes of physical activity every day. Moderate physical activity has been proven to lower blood pressure, increase HDL or good cholesterol, and control weight. Those three changes can help to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke. April is a Child Abuse Awareness Month. You can learn more at www.mcleancpn.org. There is a photo on page A4 of two officers walking past a corner with a sea of blue pinwheels that were posted at the intersection of Washington and Center Streets on Monday. The pinwheels represent all the children served by the Children's Advocacy Center in McLean, Livingston, and DeWitt counties, and foster children in McLean County served by court-appointed special advocate program. Public safety. Marijuana trafficking. A Colorado man has been charged with marijuana trafficking and delivery in McLean County. Juan Hernandez, 38, of Denver, is charged with five felony drug offenses, including delivery of more than 5,000 grams of marijuana and marijuana trafficking. Hernandez was jailed in lieu of posting $10,035 on charges stemming from his arrest on Interstate 74 by the McLean County Sheriff's Department. Recycling, climate panel, part of annual BN Expo. Visitors to find 60 exhibitors, music at Shirk Center. Mega Recycling will once again be part of the annual Illinois Sustainable Living and Wellness Expo at Illinois Wesleyan University on Saturday, along with a panel discussion on climate change, live entertainment, and a display of electric cars. The expo, sponsored by IWU Wellness Program and the Ecology Action Center, will be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Shirk Center on the Bloomington campus. It is free and open to the public. The recycling event will be from 9 a.m. to noon in the north parking lot of Shirk Center. Items that will be accepted include household electronics, except tube-style TV sets, clothing and other textiles, eyeglasses, hearing aids, Christmas lights, and corrugated plastic campaign signs. Michael Brown, the EAC's executive director, said the one-stop recycling service remains the most popular part of the expo, but it's far from the only activity. The diversity of it is one of its strong points, said Brown. It keeps evolving, growing, and changing to meet local interests. More than 60 exhibitors will be at the expo, from advanced muscular therapy and Advocate Broman thrift shop to Young Living Essential Oils and Zozaro Chiropractic and Rehab. Live music from local bands will begin at 9 a.m., and storyteller Brian Fox Ellis will perform at 10 and 2 p.m. People who ride bicycles to the expo will get free valet-style parking from Friends of the Constitution Trail and a free bike tune-up from Walk In, Bike Out. Connect Transit is providing free rides to and from the expo, but you have to get a voucher from the Illinois Sustainable Living and Wellness Expo website, ISLWE.org. This will be the second year for the Climate Change and Local Action Panel with WGLT at 1 p.m. The expo is a melding of two related events that were sponsored separately by IWU and the EAC and combined in 2006. Adapting to changing interests is one reason for the expo's continued success, according to Brown. Currently available electric cars from Mitsubishi, Chevrolet, Nissan, Tesla, and BMW will be on display, along with a 1975 Sebring Vanguard City car. Hopefully it won't be too long before we can display a Rivian car, said Brown, referring to the auto company that purchased the former Mitsubishi plant in Normal.